This reading from Matthew is perhaps for me the most beautiful of all the teachings of Jesus, the most touching words, and in some ways the most important of all the things that Jesus taught. He says, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about what you will eat or drink, or about your body and what you will wear. Is not your life more important than food? Is your body not more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, do not reap, nor store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them all. Are you not so much more valuable than they are? Who of you, for all your worrying, can add one single hour to his span of life? Why do you worry about your clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor, they do not spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Now if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And so stop your worrying. Stop saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? It's pagans that run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows what you need. For you, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And we read those beautiful words of Jesus. We recall to mind, as he tells his disciples not to worry, not to fear, that the first gift and the earmark of a disciple is the gift of peace. And from one end of Scripture to the next, the words that come forth from God are, do not fear, peace. When Jesus appears walking on the water in the midst of the stormy lake, the apostles are afraid, and Jesus says, do not fear. And he brings them peace. On Mount Tabor, do not fear. Be at peace. After the resurrection, peace. Do not be afraid. It's one of the themes of Scripture and the teachings of Jesus that there should be peace. Peace because God is Father. Peace because Jesus is Lord. Peace because we are loved. Peace because God cares and is concerned. Peace because we are protected and loved and cherished and nurtured by a loving God. Yet the first problem of our society is probably anxiety and tension. We know that the most commonly prescribed medicine is a tranquilizer. With all that nervousness, nervous tension, fear, anxiety, we have a whole host of medical problems. We know that everything from ulcers to heart attacks, muscle spasms to migraines, and even skin diseases are caused by nervous tension, by anxiety. And not simply because they cause medical problems, but because they are in themselves problems. They need the loving touch of Jesus to heal. Anxiety and fear and nervousness and tension are all areas where Jesus would want to touch, to redeem, and to place his sovereign gift of peace. As I understand it, as I see it, I find two basic sources of anxieties and nervousness and tension. The first is society itself. We live in a very competitive culture. We live in a consumer society. In common language, it's called the rat race. And the culture and society in which we live put tremendous demands upon us all. The demands to keep up, the demands to get ahead, to stay afloat, to keep going, not to stop, to achieve, to earn, to amass, to expand, to produce. Society is not very kind to its people. It truly is, in some senses, for a lot of people, a rat race. And besides the tensions of society and our consumer culture, there are the tensions of such issues and controversies all around us as war and energy and environment and politics. And I know so many people who can be caught up in all the controversies and the issues in just the daily routine of trying to make a living, who live with perpetual anxiety, a knot in their stomach, ulcers, and are on the road to heart attacks because they can't seem to relax, they can't let go, they can't stop. Society, indeed, is not very kind. And yet Jesus wants peace. And he's promised peace, and he gives peace as a gift. And I think that there is something that the Lord would want to speak to that situation. And it's very simply that we should be secure enough in who we are as Christians, secure enough for the fact that we are loved and that we are lovable, that Christians who are truly grounded in the love of God need not be part of the rat race. They need not get caught up in the consumer society, because they are well grounded, because they are well balanced, because they are secure in the love and the loving presence of God, that they can step back and leave the race to others. I think the first thing that would give peace to a person caught up in that routine is very simply if he can affirm the fact that he need prove nothing to no one, as long as he is in right relationship to God. And I think a Christian who is well grounded in that love of God and secure in his relationship to his Father can live a much more simple life than our consumer society demands. He can care for his needs and meet his needs, and does not necessarily have to meet every desire and want, and especially the desires and the wants that are created by advertising. I think it is possible for a Christian to resist the consumer society and the needs that they create. And I knew a person once, a candidate for heart attack, who was thinking about simplifying his life and thinking about this whole relationship to God and to society around him, and wondering what it was that he was really trying to prove and what it was he was really trying to achieve. And one morning he got up and he went in, and he realized that even the bathroom was a maze of electric cords, that he had a toothbrush that you had to plug in, he had shaving cream that had to be plugged in, and even a comb that had to be plugged in. And realized how very complicated life had become for him, and how unnecessarily complicated it really was. And so began from that day on to truly simplify his life, to live at the level of relaxed and harmonious balance with nature, with the world, meeting his needs and resisting the wants and the desires that were hoisted on him by a consumer society. I think a Christian is somebody who should be free enough to live by a different standard, and basically the standard of the gospel, and living by that standard, he can have peace in a whole different way. Now, another source of anxiety, nervous tension, fear, worry, is that every person, sometime in their life, and for some people more than others, that we're caught up in personal situations and personal circumstances that create tension and that burden us. Problematic situations, people going through a divorce, a family breaking down, just the ordinary give and take, the ups and the downs of a relationship. Parents worried about their children. Fathers worried about their homes. Businessmen worried about finance. Children worried about their schooling, their marks. There's enough tension that can be visited on a person. But then in a very special circumstance, such as a tragedy, or a health problem, or a breakdown, where burdens weigh very heavily on us, and where situations touch us that somehow are beyond our control, or even beyond our power to influence, and yet they create deep anxiety and tremendous tension. Think, for example, of a child or even a young adult whose parents are going through the throes of a divorce, and he's caught up and he's in the middle of it, and yet he can do nothing about it. Think of a wife whose husband is an alcoholic. Think of a man whose business is on the verge of bankruptcy. All tension-producing situations. And yet in each one there is a limit to what I can personally do about it. But once I have done what I am able to do and what is demanded of me, the rest is beyond me. And it's very difficult in that situation to achieve the balance between caring and being anxious. And yet Christ wills peace. It's the earmark of his disciple. It's the gift that he gives. Yet I think if the Christian takes hold of the gift of peace which Christ gives, then it need not be stolen from him, and it need not be destroyed, upset by shifting winds of circumstances and situations. That the peace that the Lord gives should be able to be a pool at the very center of his being that's unruffled by whatever wind might blow, by whatever circumstance might come, by whatever adversity might be visited upon him. I give you a peace which the world cannot understand. I give you a peace that no one can take from you. It's that peace that the Lord gives. And yet so many people are touched by those burdens, those anxious circumstances and tense situations. And I think what is really needed is a deep awareness of the loving fatherhood of God and the lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, we sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. And I think we really believe that, and we know that God is truly all-powerful, and that the lordship of Jesus extends to everything in heaven and earth, and even the underworld, even the powers of hell must tremble before Jesus. And there is no situation that is outside of God's control. There is no circumstance that he doesn't touch. There is nothing that he doesn't know about. There is nothing that surprises him, catches him off guard. The world does not run out of control with God trying to catch up. But everything is very much in the capable hands of God, in their loving hands, and secure. And we know the truth of the doctrine, that he cares for his children, that he watches over us, gives angels to watch us, protects us, will never let harm come to us, nor a hair of our head be disturbed, because he truly loves each and every one of us. And he calls us his very own. And yet to move beyond the truth of doctrine to the trust of surrender is a giant step. It calls us to realize that what we believe with our mind must be put into practice with our hearts, and that we need, in fact, to surrender to God and to His perfect will. The truth is that my life is God's life before it was ever mine, that my marriage belonged to God before it ever belonged to me, that my family is God's before it is mine, that my children are God's before they were ever mine, that the world and the church and my parish and community and group belong to God before they ever belong to me. And my attempts at saving the situation, saving the event, saving people, are very often reduced to nothing more than pathetic attempts to manipulate and to control, to play God, to be a savior. And yet if I truly realize and understand that the circumstances are beyond me, beyond my power to touch or control, and yield it over to God, give it over to God, proclaim God as the one in charge, then the first gift to me is a gift of peace. I think we go a long way if we can isolate my problem and separate it from everybody else's problem. My problem, my responsibility, is to do what is honestly possible and what is required of me. Beyond that, I cannot do. Beyond that, I am not expected to do. Beyond that, it is God's. I think it is very interesting in the Eucharist that we pray for peace. Peace I give you, peace is my gift. Look not upon our sins, but on the faith of your church, and grant us the peace and the unity of your kingdom. And then we say, let the peace of the Lord be with you. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. And we pray for peace. And then the priest holds up the host. And it's in that context, I think, of praying for peace. Say, Lord, I am not worthy, but speak the word, and I shall be healed. And I think of each person as he goes to communion, as he receives the Eucharist or prays before the Lord, use that time as a very sacred one to take every burden, every anxiety, every circumstance, every situation that is beyond my touch or control, and give it to God. Give it to Jesus and proclaim Him to be the Lord over it. And then receive in exchange the gift of peace. We would go a long way to calming our fears, calming our anxieties, and being ruled by the peace of Christ. Gift is a peace. Gift of peace is a gift, first of all. I think we have to understand that and put it in proper perspective. It is not something that I can achieve. It's not something that I can win. It's not something that I can wrestle from the hand of God. It is something that I can receive only as a gift. And so a very good way of praying is the prayer of praise and thanksgiving. It is right and it is just. It is good always and everywhere to give thanks and praise to God. And in every circumstance and in every situation, I should be able to praise and thank God. Because by doing that, I affirm within my spirit what I know to be the truth in my head, that God is in charge, that God is capable of handling the situation, and that He is loving, and He wants no harm to come to His children. And so I can thank Him for whatever the situation might be and proclaim Jesus to be the Lord over every situation in every detail and know that He is present and that He is in control ultimately and that everything is in the hands of the Lord. I can picture the Lord in front of me. And I can picture Him holding in His hand the gift of peace. and I want to take it from him, but my hands are filled with my own burdens, my own anxieties, my own problems. And the Lord reaches out his hand and he says, give them to me. And I must take each situation and I name it. And I give it into the hands of the Lord. Each one. One at a time being given over to the Lord. And when I have given everything to the Lord and know that he is now responsible and in control, and my hands are empty of those burdens, then he gives me the gift of peace. And I receive it with a grateful heart. And I live in that peace which his love has granted to me.